I'm Dr. Orion Terraban, and this is PsychHacks, Better Living Through Psychology. And the topic of today's short talk is, the court does not deal in trifles. So this is a phrase that I learned from a friend back when he was going through law school. Apparently, the Supreme Court of the United States hears between 100 and 150 cases every year. That's their session. However, the court is asked to review over 7,000 cases a year. That means that between 98 and 99% of all petitions are dismissed. That's a very high reject rate. And generally, when the court rejects a petition, they provide a reason for their decision to do so. And one of the reasons the Supreme Court can give when they reject a petition for a hearing is the title of this episode, namely, the court does not deal in trifles. And this is a nice, polite way of saying, this isn't worth our fucking time. I first heard that phrase, the court does not deal in trifles, when I was 21 years old, and it has stuck with me ever since. My friends, you have to understand that just like the Supreme Court of the United States, you have a limited amount of time, a limited amount of resources, and a limited amount of bandwidth with which to deal with the fuckery of everyday life. And if you give your time, resources, and bandwidth to any one thing, you are not giving it to anything else. Within the context of necessary scarcity, attending to that which truly does not matter is an enormous liability for several important reasons. In the first place, it lowers your station and dignity. Things only really have value at the point of transaction, and that includes intangibles. That means, for instance, if you're going to lose your shit every time you suffer a minor inconvenience, then that's exactly how much your peace is worth, a minor inconvenience. And it's worth that much because apparently it only takes a minor inconvenience to purchase your peace. By the same token, if you're going to respond to every niggling criticism someone throws in your general direction, then that's exactly how much your time is worth, a niggling criticism. And it's worth that much because apparently it only takes a niggling criticism to purchase your time. And you've decided that your peace and time are worth that much because you decided to engage, which is to say, you decided to transact at that price point. On the other hand, by selectively choosing what you will respond to, you effectively sell your time and peace and attention at a higher price point, communicating both to yourself and others that these are valuable resources coming from a person of some worth and dignity. Many people aren't respected at the levels they would prefer precisely because they devalue these resources through inflation. Giving your attention to everyone who asks for it is functionally like printing more money. All it effectively does is diminish the value of the resource already in circulation. You can never increase the value of something by creating more of it, only by creating less of it. So by letting most things slide, you will begin to carry yourself with greater dignity and self-possession. In the second place, it's important to understand that not all time, which is generally your most valuable resource, is equally valuable. People say that you have 24 hours in a day. That's not really true. You're spending at least 10 of those hours sleeping and attending to necessary self-care. That leaves 14 hours. However, you don't even really have 14 hours in a day. This is because people have a limited bandwidth with respect to their focused attention. For most folks, this is between 4 and 6 hours a day. I call these hours the golden time, and it's when people are at their peak mental functioning. For all intents and purposes, these are the only hours you really have in a given day, at least with respect to any tasks requiring high levels of creativity or concentration or physical exertion or careful reasoning or performative charisma, etc. That means that if you squander these hours, you functionally squandered the entire day. Now, before I go any further, if you're liking what you're hearing, please consider sending this episode to someone who might benefit from its message, because it's word-of-mouth referrals like this that really help to make the channel grow. I'm also proud to announce that I'll soon be publishing my book, The Value of Others. So if you'd like to learn more about that, then you can go to my website and sign up for my weekly newsletter. Finally, please fill out an inquiry form on my website if you're interested in booking a paid consultation. The link is in the description. Okay, let's get back to it. Now, your golden time should be guarded very jealously. You should not be responding to emails during that time. You should not be sitting in meetings during that time. You should not be allowing your wife or your friends or your family to introduce unnecessary problems into that time. This is because attending to these demands during the golden time is a misallocation of resources. If the Supreme Court used one of its 100 hearings to adjudicate a spat between neighbors with respect to where their property line is to be drawn, that would be a slap in the nation's face. By the same token, if you are texting with your girlfriend about her frustrations with a coworker during your golden time, that would be a slap in your own face. You would be disrespecting your own time, and you communicate that your time isn't worth much more than serving as a passive receptacle for an impotent frustration. Guard your time more jealously. Don't expect others to do it for you. This means that you will likely have to start saying no a lot more often. And that's not a word that is often well received, especially by women. However, that's not your problem. How people respond to feedback is their problem. How you guard your own time is your problem. Don't get it mixed up. This means that you don't have to manage their reaction to your feedback, and they don't have to protect your time. Everyone has enough on their own plates without eating off anyone else's. And guess what? If a certain problem is a trifle, then any problem created by not dealing with that trifle is also a trifle. It's even smaller than a trifle. It's like a micro trifle. It's like a nano trifle. Don't allow other people's reactive noise to influence your judgment over the significance of the original issue. Telling people no will be disappointing to certain people. However, you have to appreciate that the alternative to this is disappointing yourself by doing violence to your own judgment and priorities. And if you're ever put in a situation, which is usually done against your will by another person, in which you are forced to make a decision between disappointing yourself and disappointing someone else, then failing any explicit agreement to the contrary, disappoint the other person. Like, that should be the default decision here. Now, if you say you're going to do something, you should do it. And if you say you're not going to do something, you shouldn't do it. But in the absence of that explicit agreement, if someone is just operating under the unjustified expectation that they somehow deserve your time, or they are entitled to your attention, or they should be able to expect certain consideration just because they are dating you or because they are a friend or a family member, then they are mistaken. This is not necessarily true. Like, we certainly prioritize these people over random folks in society, but even these intimate relationships do not come with functional entitlements that haven't been mutually and explicitly negotiated. Failing to appropriately disappoint others often creates resentment, which will corrode a person's contentment and willingness to enthusiastically remain in the relationship in the long term. And this is your responsibility to do, just like it's the court's responsibility to reject 99% of its petitions. This is especially important to remember because there are plenty of people who exist in the world who will keep taking until they are actively resisted. They're not going to pick up on your signals or read the room or know better. That's an extremely passive, if not an extremely passive aggressive position to take. And it also disempowers you as it functionally awards another person control over your time and peace. Take that power back. Say no, reject, deny, disappoint, ignore. Why? Because the court does not deal in trifles. Just because it's important to someone else does not necessarily mean that it has to be important to you. Don't even give your attention to things if they don't pass a certain threshold of significance. Something to consider. What do you think? Does this fit with your own experience? Let me know in the comments below. As always, I appreciate your support and thank you for listening. And now, a word about Stellar. If you're interested in pursuing a master's degree or a doctorate, chances are good that you'll have to take the GRE. Now, before I became a psychologist, I was actually one of the world's top GRE test prep instructors. Over 20 years, I developed a unique and practical system for dismantling every aspect of this test, and I helped thousands of students achieve top percentile scores on the exam. Today, students can learn the same system I used to achieve my own perfect score with Stellar GRE, my online GRE self-study program. I personally wrote and designed every aspect of this course. Among other things, it includes a 500-page test prep manual, thousands of practice problems, and several full-length mock exams. Just like my episodes, Stellar is designed to give students the strategies and techniques they need to succeed as clearly and succinctly as possible. And the best part is, Stellar works. My students' average score improvements are higher than my competitors' score guarantees. So create an account and start your free trial today at stellargre.com. Use the code PSYCH for 10% off any membership plan. The link is in the description.